If you have your Bibles, open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 19. We have been studying in the 19th chapter of the book of the Revelation the four hallelujahs which introduce the chapter. We concluded our last broadcast with reference to the fact that the last of the four hallelujahs is praise to Jehovah because the marriage supper of the Lamb is come. We said we want to notice exactly what that phrase means. The marriage of the Lamb is come. So today, let us begin by looking at the word come. It comes from a Greek word in the aorist tense, which indicates that when this hallelujah is uttered, this marriage of the Lamb has already taken place. It is an announcement that the Lamb has been married to his bride, and that is worthy of praise from everybody. Now, who is the Lamb? Well, we were introduced to the Lamb back in Revelation chapter 5. We discovered that the Lamb is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this statement mean then? Well, it means exactly what it says, that the Lord Jesus Christ someday is going to be married. Oh, this is not a strange statement related solely to the book of Revelation that should cause your eyebrows to raise a little. This is a statement that is emphasized throughout the Word of God. For example, Genesis 24 is a story in type of the marriage of the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. The Song of Solomon, a complete book in the Old Testament, is a story of the marriage of the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. There can be no doubt then that the Lord Jesus Christ will be married. But we would be interested to know just who his bride will be. So I'm going to suggest that we turn first to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, where we read, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now what does that verse say? Paul says that he has espoused someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has betrothed someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has taught them that they are engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants to keep them pure until the time of the wedding. Who is it that is engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let us go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 to find out who it is that the apostle is addressing. Then we will have some idea of who the bride of Christ is. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. So he says that this letter is addressed to the church of God. The church of God, then, beloved, is the bride of Christ. You are well aware, I'm sure, that the church of God is one name for the church, which is the body of Christ. Sometimes the phrase, the Church of Christ, is used. Sometimes the phrase, the Church of God. Sometimes the household of faith. Sometimes simply the word saints. But whatever the phrase, it is speaking of all born-again believers. Will you turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. We don't have time for an exposition of this passage of Scripture, but let me say that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here that every marriage relationship, notice what I'm saying now, every marriage relationship was meant to be, I'm sad that it isn't so, but it was meant to be an illustration of the relationship that exists between Christ and his church. We can see from these passages of Scripture that the bride of the Lamb is none other than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely I need not take time to emphasize overmuch when we speak of the church. We are not speaking of any particular group, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ. We are speaking of the body of Christ. We are speaking about every born-again believer who has, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, become associated with the Lord Jesus Christ and every other believer. When you were born again, whether it was lately or a long time ago, the Holy Spirit put you into the body of Christ. Now you are a member of the bride. Now you are part of that group who will someday be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now we are engaged. We are betrothed, we are espoused, as the Scripture puts it. By and by, the marriage will occur. This is perhaps the longest betrothal, the longest engagement the world has ever seen, because it has lasted nearly 2,000 years. We don't know how much longer it's going to last. But one day, the Lord Jesus Christ will come and take the church away from its home here on the earth to the home of the bridegroom for the purpose of preparing for the wedding. You understand that the Bible expresses everything in Eastern terms. In our time, or in our area, in our sphere of society, the most important person in the wedding is the bride. But in the East, the most important person in the wedding is the bridegroom. You don't worry about being married at the bride's home or at the bride's church there. You are married at the bridegroom's home or at the bridegroom's church. And so one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he's going to take the bride, the one he is engaged to, back to heaven, and preparations are going to be made for the wedding. We read in verse 7 that the wedding is performed when the Lord Jesus Christ presents the bride to himself. But will you notice in the last part of verse 7, that before the bride, or before the wedding can occur, the bride has to make herself ready. We read there, Revelation 19:7, "And his wife hath made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Now the first thing that attracts our attention is that from the time the church is taken to heaven until the time the wedding is performed, the church is occupied with making herself ready, making herself presentable for the wedding. How does she make herself presentable for the wedding? By preparing her trousseau. A bride on the earth, if she knows she's going to get married, spends an awful lot of time on her wardrobe. And that is exactly what happens here in verses 7 and 8. The bride, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is spending time getting her wardrobe ready, and particularly her wedding garment. We notice in verse 8 that her wedding garment is made out of fine linen, clean and white. We have learned by this time that signs and symbols are the order of procedure in the book of the Revelation, and we would like to know what fine linen, clean and white is. We are told in the last statement of verse 8 that fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. There are two words in Greek for righteousness. One of them is dikaiosune, which refers to the imputed righteousness, foundational righteousness, that righteousness that you receive the very moment you were born again, the time that you were made righteous with God. There is another word, dikaioma, which refers to righteous acts, righteous deeds, righteous works. And it is that word which is used here in verse 8. So actually, you might read verse 8 in this fashion, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints, the righteous acts of the saints, the good deeds of the saints. And we're going to have to stop right there. We hope that you will be well clothed on your wedding day.